This is the good stuff on the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. And as we've said, Colleen is out in Montana, and I'm here in the studio with Rob Wilder, author of Daddy Needs a Drink, and just general funny guy. We're here talking breasts. As Colleen said, it's one of our favorite subjects. And what spurred us on was yet another Hollywood celeb, obviously fixing hers. She got some new friends. And frankly, with Catherine Zeta-Jones, it really just looks like she kind of just reestablished herself. You know, they don't look overly ridiculous. She's a kind of a big woman. I think she looks pretty darn good. You looked at the pictures.
Me, Colleen?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to look at some pictures. I'm having a hard time. Listen.
Your internet connection's a little slow.
All the cattle.
Yeah.
The dust they're kicking up.
Eating horses going by. No, I think that what's interesting in a lot of ways, here we've got Rob in the studio, we're talking breasts. Do you think, Rob, that women are much more interested in other women's breasts than actually men are?
Well, I just want to say also that I'm topless. I don't know if they, because I saw the hot tub in these plush offices, and it's just a thing I do. You know, I think you know, women definitely talk about it maybe more because men notice, but we don't have a lot to say. You know, we're sort of still somewhat like cavemen. We can point out the sort of the oddities or the eruptions, but we don't have a lot to say about them. So I think women talk a lot more about whether they should get them or why this person got them. I actually got a phone call, and I'm not kidding, yesterday. I got a text message. I'm with my dad. I got a text message from my friend in New York City. And his kids go to, I shouldn't name the school, goes to a fancy summer camp in Manhattan. And my friend text messaged me that a woman next to his wife who had fake boobs, one of the boobs came out during the presentation, like the talent show at the summer, which for my friend, it wasn't a matter of arousal. It was more of a matter of spectacle. And his wife actually was repulsed. At the not only that she had a boob job, she's not someone who believes that, you know, you really need to improve yourself. But the other thing was that, you know, something like that could actually have some sort of wardrobe malfunction. So it's sort of timely that you guys are talking about this today, because I got that text message yesterday and we laughed about it.
But I think, Colleen, you're right, which is very funny. And wardrobe malfunctions obviously just happened to your average folk. It's not just Janet Jackson. But we were talking, Rob and I, over the break, and I said, I think women judge also so much more critically. I think you're in the camp of either you think it's okay or you don't. And when you don't, I think women can be really harsh.
Right.
And
Yeah, you're right. And I think that we would judge men harshly in a lot of ways if they sat around talking about boobs. We would put them in a certain kind of category. So I think that it's not as easy for guys. But yes, women are very critical about other women's bodies. And there's also a competition. You don't want one of your friends to have this amazing set of breasts when all the rest of you are sagging and bagging. And so you can be a little vicious. So, hey, on the breast front, let's just say, let it be, live and let live. Try to keep the escapees, the wardrobe malfunctions intact. Try not to let those have very often. I think we got to say, hey, Catherine, she's a beautiful woman. She really is. And she probably had a lift. I think we're at the stage where we have to say whatever. But I think if you're going to do it, I think especially if you're someone like Jessica Simpson, you got to really be dumb if you think that we think those are real. All right, so let's leave boobs in the past, as much as I hate to leave the topic, and go to parenting, Rob, because you're a parent, and that makes you somewhat of an expert. And you've written a book, albeit an irreverent book about parenting, which is probably my favorite kind, in fact, my only kind, because I think as a parent you have to never say never and know that it's really just stabbing in the dark. We're all just doing the best we can and hoping that our kids turn out. But let me ask you about this. There was an article recently in the Wall Street Journal review of a new product that's coming out where you can actually monitor your kids' text messaging. Now, we know that we can monitor what kids do on computers. We know that we can listen in on their phone conversations, the old-fashioned way, pick up the other phone downstairs. But what about text messaging and monitoring kids in general? Do you think that's an important thing to do?
Well, you know, not only am I a parent, but I'm a high school teacher, and I actually have gone to presentations about cyber safety, which are always fascinating to me, because the parents go in, you know, to these things pretty naive, And by the time they come out,
they
are ready to insert microchips into their kids and put straitjackets on them and give them a Silkwood-style shower. You know, they get so frenzied about this. So I understand how parents can be really scared of this. My feeling, and, you know, it's not only this radar thing that you can monitor cell phones. You know, you actually can have your kid, they can put something called the digital angel under their skin. So you know where they are all the time. I don't know if you guys know about that. That's kind of
old. We talked about that last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. So this has been going on. And my feeling is about this is that I think that's sort of crazy making. I think the whole thing about monitoring your kids, I understand, you know, I don't want to play down the fact that we do have predators and it's a serious issue. But at the same time, I wonder, like, why, if your kids are doing things that sort of elaborate outside your knowledge, why is that happening? Why don't you know who your kid is?
Well, that's interesting. I brought this conversation up with some women last night while everybody else was out on the moonlight ride, and I abstained. Why are we so paranoid about this? And one woman said she thinks it's because so many families today, both the mother and the father are working, and we don't have the old-fashioned way of keeping track of our kids. And our fingers are a little bit removed from the pulse. And that we're desperate to try to figure out what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, but I think I hear what you're saying about busy parents, but I think those are the choices you make. And I think spying on your kids, I know from being a teacher, only drives the kids to become sneakier and better at it. So my feeling is that if you're really so busy working, and I understand that that parents have to work, but I think there are ways to make sacrifices before you have to get to a point where you're actually following your kids, videotaping their driving or tapping their phones. I think there are ways before all that happens to get to know your kid.
Right.
No, and I think that's a valid point. But what I mean, I do think there might be a time if you are encountering risky behavior. I think your child, I think you need to be provoked. And then perhaps if you're provoked, then you're almost not necessarily being responsible. If you're not, then taking a step further and looking into what they're doing, who they're hanging out with, that kind of thing. But
no,
I think just,
you're right.
Yeah, because I struggle with it. I have a 12-year-old who's she's going into seventh grade. She had a required laptop this year. She really, I mean, I keep thinking, am I naive? Okay, I don't think so. Am I, you know, but pretty soon, if I don't implement the net nanny or the whatever, I am going to be naive. But where is that line?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things, and we can talk about this a little bit more, things like have your computers in a public space.
We'll be right back.